The following message is from the Neuenborg International Church, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
This morning we are finishing up our sermon series through the Beatitudes, and we are in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll be reading verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand this word that is before us. Help us to understand what it means to be persecuted like the Old Testament prophets, and give us the courage to trust you in it. So help us now as we study this last verse in the Beatitudes which you have given to your church. Amen. Well, this is part two of a sermon we started last week. And the question we were trying to answer is, what did Jesus mean by this comparison? What did he mean when he compared us to the prophets of the Old Testament? And the first thing we said is that Christians are like prophets of the Old Testament in a way, because God has given us a message to tell the world, and that's what a prophet does. He gives a message from God to the world. And the message is a warning. Judgment is coming because of sin, because of the way we have broken and distorted God's good world, the way we have turned back on his covenant. But if you turn back from your sin, if you turn back to God, you will be saved. That's the basic message of the prophets, and that's the basic message of the church. So we share that message with the Old Testament prophets. That's the gospel. Because of sin, we're on our way to eternity in hell. But if you turn and repent, put your faith in Christ, you will be saved. We Christians have a similar job as the prophets. We have a similar message. But we also share two characteristics in common with the Old Testament prophets, I believe. Not just a similar message, but similar in how we give that message to others. And those two characteristics I mentioned last week are integrity and empathy. Now, last week we looked at integrity, which you'll remember means stability, strength. It refers to something that is uncompromising. And that's the first thing you notice about the prophets in the Old Testament is their integrity, right? I mean, they did not bend the message of God. They did not soften it. They had one job: get the message of God to the people accurately. And so in the same way, a Christian is to give the message of God to the world, the gospel, without bending the word or changing it so that it sounds less offensive, even if people do call us crazy or radical or closed-minded. They said that to the prophets also. So Christ calls us to integrity, to say what is in his word without compromise. Okay, so that's the first characteristic we share with the Old Testament prophets, is integrity. The second characteristic we share with them, what I want to talk about this morning, is empathy, by which I mean love, or a deep concern for those to whom we give the gospel. There is a way to be prophet with integrity, but without love. There is a way, I think, to be prophet that misses the point. It's easy to be prophet by yelling at people to repent, bullhorn style, or just getting all our points out to prove that this atheist is wrong, you know? That's easy, just to spew out all of our points. There's a way to look at homosexuals and say, ew, you know, so gross, they need Jesus. But the thing is, God sends us to be prophets, not to be judges. That's his job. He's judge. He simply tells us to give the message to everyone with love. 2 years ago, we had the opportunity to go to Ireland on a retreat. And the last night of our trip, we decided to go to this nice little pub, sort of set up on a hill. And we were having fun, minding our own business, when on the way out, a guy stopped us and asked us where we were from. We said, America. So he lit his cigarette and asked what I do for a living. I said, I'm a pastor. And this began a pretty long conversation, standing out in the cold night air. So I took the opportunity to tell him the gospel, everything. He, like me, is a sinner and destined for eternity in hell. But that God, who loves sinners, sent his son as our sacrificial lamb, that through him we can have eternal life. Well, he did not like this message too much, and he got pretty visibly angry. Even though I tried to keep the mood light, I kept smiling and trying not to be offensive, but it became clear that within the next minute or so, he was probably going to punch me in the face. So after he refused to shake my hand, I simply said, "Okay, good night," and I turned to walk away. So he cursed me out and started to walk away in a fury. At that point, our friend Josh ran after him a few steps and said, "You're going to go to hell." And I thought, that's not how I wanted to end the conversation. That's not the taste I wanted to leave in his mouth, if you know what I mean. Because the point of the prophets is never to condemn, but to save. I mean, there should never be a sense at the end of an evangelistic conversation in which we feel like, "Yeah, I won that argument." Or, "Fine, you don't want to listen to me, you don't want to be saved, then go to hell then." There should always be a sense of empathy, a deep sense of sadness. Not because we were rejected, but because the free gift of God was rejected, which will result in their eternal damnation unless they, turn around. Let's just look at some of the examples of the prophets. Listen to their attitude. This is from Isaiah in chapter 22, verse 4. "Therefore I said, 'Look away from me, let me weep bitter tears. Do not labor to comfort me concerning the destruction of the daughter of my people.'" Prophet Jeremiah in chapter 13 said this, "Hear and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. But if you will not listen, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears." Jesus himself, shortly before he was rejected and crucified, cried over Jerusalem. For the prophets, it was never just about getting the job done. Yes, they had integrity. Yes, they would not bend the truth or the message. But they had a deep, deep concern for the repentance of the sinner, for the salvation of those who had walked away from God. A friend of mine in seminary once told me that when he would go visit his grandma, she would make him crumple up Christian tracts into balls. And then she would drive slowly by bus stops in the city and tell him to throw them out, these tracts out the window at people in the bus stops. And she called this gospel bombing. And who knows, maybe one person actually read the tract and was saved. I don't know. But I think it misses probably the essence of true Christian prophecy, which is best described by Paul as truth in love. Do you hear that? Integrity and empathy. There should be an empathy to Christian prophecy, to evangelism, a wishing, a begging, a hoping that they will accept it for their salvation. Not just spewing out our arguments and go home. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20. "Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." This word here, implore, in Greek, parakaleo, has a sense of passionate urgency to it. Please listen to our message. Please be saved through Christ. Now, I realize this is hard to do. I realize it is hard to get this balance between integrity and empathy, courage and love. Actually, that's wrong. I said that wrong. I once said that to my brother Bill. I said, "I'm having a hard time finding a balance between these two." And he said, "I don't think Jesus is calling us to balance anything. Jesus doesn't want us to find a middle point between integrity and empathy, not a happy medium. Jesus is calling us to 100% of both. So let me not say it's hard to find a balance or middle ground. That's wrong. But instead, it's hard to live in the tension between these two extremes. Maybe that's a better way to say it. If you've never felt that tension, if you've never said, "Man, after sharing the gospel, I was too harsh. I ran through my points. I didn't listen to their story or to their point of view. I just did the old fire hose evangelism on them." Or if you've never said, "I think I was too passive, too wishy-washy. I could have said more, but I was scared. I didn't want them to think I was weird or radical or something." If you've never had those thoughts, then maybe you are not living in the tension of the Christian prophet. And Christ calls us all to be prophets to give the message. I know this is hard, but it's not optional. Christ calls us all to be prophets at times. And I also know that some will say to me, well, look, Stephen, that's just not my personality. And, you know, I do understand that people are different. Some are more shy. Some are more bold. Some are more outspoken and upfront. Others are more behind the scenes kinds of people. That's true. God has made us different, given us different gifts. But as a Christian, the opportunities will come up. No matter who you are, they always come up. The opportunities to share the gospel and to give the message. You cannot avoid it in this culture we live in. The world will see you as different and they will ask questions. And if you are avoiding it, I would want to know why. Because it seems to me that it's impossible for a Christian to have this kind of attitude that says, I'm saved, I'm safe, but the rest of the world, my neighbor, my family, they're not my business. And the reason that's not a Christian attitude is because it's not loving. And the heart of prophecy, the heart of evangelism is love. It is for the salvation of the lost. You know, when someone says to me, well, it's just not my personality, I would want to say to them, well, is it not your personality to tell a person on a mountain trail, hey, beware, just through that bush is a 1,500-foot drop to the valley floor. So you just kind of watch them walk by and through the bush and hear, oh, falling. And when someone asks you, why didn't you say something? You say, well, it wasn't my personality. Brothers and sisters, this has nothing to do with personality. This has to do with love. I guarantee that no one in this room is nervous to say to another person, Christian or otherwise, drive safe. Remember to wear your safety belt. That's prophecy. If you don't wear your safety belt, you might get hurt. I don't want you to get hurt, so wear your safety belt. That's prophecy. We care enough to tell our kids to brush their teeth so they don't have problems in the future. That's prophecy. No one here is afraid to do that because we care. But we don't care enough to tell them how to find salvation, how to avoid an eternity in hell through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what someone told me this week? They said, yes, but you're a pastor. You love doing that kind of stuff. And I thought, no, I don't. I mean, I get nervous when I have to share the gospel with somebody. I get sweaty. My voice shakes. I bumble. I mumble. I'm scared people won't like me. I almost always say way too much. I do love the message. That's why I'm a pastor. But I'm often scared to tell it. So if I'm preaching to you this morning and you feel like this is describing you, that don't worry, you're not alone. I'm one of you. And that's why I love the prophet Jeremiah so much. When God chose him to be the prophet to carry the message to Israel, he said, no, Lord, I'm too young. I can't do it. He was afraid, like you, like me. Even Moses, the great leader of Israel, he said, no, Lord, I can't do it. I'm a bad talker. No one will listen to me. I won't know what to say. But in both cases, God said, don't worry. I am with you. You don't have to speak. I'll give the message. You just open your mouth. And God used these weak and scared men for great things. And he can use you too. I often pray this prayer, and I encourage you to pray this prayer. Lord, I will go if you do the talking. I'll be faithful. I mean, I'll go, but I don't know what to say. I'll open my mouth, but you give me the words. Pray that. It's a good prayer. God isn't calling you to be a hero. God isn't calling you to save the world. He's just asking us to be faithful, to give the message when the opportunity is there. Well, I know that we're all struggling with this at some level, but don't feel bad, you, because great men like Jeremiah and Moses also struggled. But I encourage you to pray for help, for God to give us the courage and the love to speak, the integrity and the empathy, the passion for God's truth and the passion for the salvation of the lost, so that we'll open our mouths when the opportunity is there and trust God to do the speaking even through our weakness. There's often times when I've shared the gospel and thought, I don't even know what I just said. I mean, did any of that make sense? I was who knows all the things I said wrong, but God can use that if we're faithful to open our mouths, and he has to do that speaking anyway into the heart. I'll tell you another thing I do because of my fear. This also might help you, I don't know. I will often pray for God to make natural opportunities for me to talk about him. I pray for opportunities because sometimes I'm too nervous to, you know, make that step of faith to start a dialogue or start a conversation with someone. So what I often do is say, God, please give me natural opportunities where people come and ask me, and I'd be happy to share. And you know what? That is one prayer that I have noticed he always answers in my life. Usually a few months later, but I've noticed it's every time. As a matter of fact, 3 months ago, I prayed that very prayer again. And last week alone, I had 3 opportunities to share the gospel with non-Christians. Pray that prayer. It's a good prayer. So, brothers and sisters, the world, let me remind you, is blindly heading towards a cliff of God's eternal judgment. May he make us into ambassadors of love for the lost with the free offer of the gospel. With a love for the lost and an integrity to tell the message without shame or embarrassment. Let me give the last word to Paul in a famous verse that he wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. There's the integrity. For it is the power of God for salvation. And there's the empathy together. Amen.